What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Trigger. This is Trigger, episode number 588 here on Wednesday, January 7th, 2026. We are starting off the new year, back from the holidays. Hope everyone had a good Christmas and a happy new year. And
Kwanzaa.
A joyous fake Kwanzaa. And of course, a happy belated January 6th to all those who celebrate. Let's get started because we got a lot of news to go over here. Of course, Of course, the breaking news today is coming out of Minnesota, of course, because I feel like that's been the hot state lately.
Yep.
Earlier today, a rabid leftist terrorist tried to ram one of our great ICE heroes with a car and was promptly shot in the face, as was properly done so.
Fuck around and find out.
Clear self-defense shooting, as multiple video angles have now indicated.
Yeah.
However, that didn't stop the good old Minnesota politicians from coming out and saying some ridiculous, crazy things in a press conference following this shooting. Just days ago, flashback here for you, Jacob Fry, the piece of shit mayor from Minneapolis, who once knelt at the golden casket of fentanyl overdose victim George Floyd.
Golden casket.
I mean, it was.
I know. He's probably crying a river right now.
Oh, yeah. He had this to say just a couple days ago. Take a listen.
I am increasingly concerned because of the chaos that is being caused by these ICE agents that somebody is going to get seriously injured or killed. Somebody is going to get seriously injured or killed. And whether that is an ICE agent or a community member, we all know the tinderbox that could explode because of it.
And then, just today, after even the videos of this come out, he said some really ridiculous things in this press conference. First, he had this to say.
What we do know is that a 37-year-old woman is dead and that she was shot by ICE. We've dreaded this moment since the early stages of this ICE presence in Minneapolis. Not only is this a concern that we've had internally, we've been talking about it. They are not here to cause safety in this city. What they are doing is not to provide safety in America. What they are doing is causing chaos and distrust. They're ripping families apart. They're sowing chaos on our streets. And in this case, quite literally killing people.
Which is totally factually incorrect and clearly a lie. And he knew it when he was saying that it was a lie. And I mean, I shouldn't be surprised, but I mean, it really is vile. The things that he said during that press conference. One other thing, one other clip from him here for you from that presser earlier today.
For our city, and I have a message for ICE. To ICE, get the fuck out of Minneapolis. We do not want you here. Your stated reason for being in this city is to create some kind of safety, and you are doing exactly the opposite. People are being hurt. Families are being ripped apart. Long-term Minneapolis residents that have contributed so greatly to our city, to our culture, to our economy are being terrorized, and now somebody is dead. That's on you.
I mean, I just don't understand why these politicians do this. And this is 100% their fault. This is Democrats' fault. The things that they've said have encouraged this kind of violence against ICE agents. And we've seen it time and time again. And Kristi Noem, at a border event in Brownsville, Texas, gave some remarks on the attack and called it a domestic terrorist attack. And it clearly was. Take a listen.
You asked about a shooting that we just had in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It was an act of domestic terrorism. What happened was our ICE officers were out in an enforcement action. They got stuck in the snow because of the adverse weather that is in Minneapolis. They were attempting to push out their vehicle, and a woman attacked them and those surrounding them and attempted to run them over and ram them with her vehicle. An officer of ours acted quickly and defensively shot to protect himself and the people around him, And my understanding is that she was hit and is deceased. We're continuing to gather more information, but this goes to show the assaults that our ICE officers and our law enforcement are under every single day.
It's, you know, this is, I mean, I don't even understand how this is like a thing, but it's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
The Democrats are trying to make this into like a George Floyd 2.0.
Saying that it was murder.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of liberal journalists saying this is murder, murder, uh-huh. murder, murder. Look at this angle. And then, you know, you have Harry Sisson saying, you know, this is not self-defense, as if, like, Harry Sisson is, like, a, you know, experienced on this, whatever. It's not. Everyone is focusing on the agent that was trying to open the door. There is an agent in front of the fucking car.
Yes.
If you slow it down, he's right there, and the woman gunned it toward him. So,
yep.
Sorry, there's going to be some epic retract. Given how fast this whole narrative has formed on the left and lib media, we all know that the epic retractions are coming.
Yes. Yep.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Be prepared, everybody. Yep. Be prepared.
And, you know, this is obviously on the heels of Minnesota becoming a hot topic of conversation because of the massive amount of Somalian fraud going on up there.
Oh, my God.
Which also caused Tampon Tim to drop out of the governor's race. And it's just outrageous to me how these liberals just act as if they could get away with this. And hopefully there's some accountability.
Yeah.
But that's the Somalian fraud is part of the reason that there is such an ICE presence and DHS, Homeland Security investigation presence going on right now.
2,000 agents, more prosecutors were sent today.
Yep.
It's just out of control. And frankly, the only way to stop it is if they elect a Republican governor. If a Democrat wins, Tim Walz wins.
But in the end, I don't know that Tim Walz is going to win. I think he's going to end up in jail. That's my prediction on that.
Too. But I mean, that auditor report was just ridiculous. $400 million?
Yeah,
an unchecked fraud going through various state agencies that he oversees. You know, this is why he's not running again. And then, you know, Nick Shirley had a follow up video, another lengthy follow up video with the man who known as David. I think it was David Hooch.
Hawk.
Who basically said that it's not $9 billion. He's been tracking this for a while, and he's like, it's at least $80 to $120 billion.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And he's lowballing it. He's tracked, there are 1,200 companies that provide medical transport assistance. He has tagged and every single one off of video.
Yep.
There are 1,200, the vehicles are sitting in the lots.
Mm-hmm.
And supposed to be ferrying, you know, patients. They're not, and they're still getting paid. So not one of them has moved all year. It's actually really, it's ridiculous. I mean, the fact that he's like, there's no way that 1,200 companies could ferry that many people every year.
Yep.
Like, Minneapolis would have to be like Mogadishu, which it kind of is already. But but well, like, that. I mean, that's the type of stuff that, you know, goes unchecked, and the reason why it goes unchecked is because the Somalian community has become such a political force there that, you know, they vote in blocks and they keep all the local Dems in line, scared, like Jacob Fry. I mean, do you think he really wants to eat Somalian food?
Yeah,
he was fighting for his life in that video. He looked like he was going to throw up all over the fucking place eating that slop, but he has to, because if he doesn't, he's going to get primaried and he's probably going to fucking lose. To the guy who, I forget his name, but he looks like the guy who Captain Phillips had to it.
Yeah, way. I'm the captain.
Yeah.
they all look like that. Yeah. But, and if you also dig in deeper to this, it involves multiple high-level politicians, not just Tim Walz. Obviously, a lot of local politicians, but also another statewide guy, a name that will be very familiar to you, Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison.
Oh, my God.
There's audio of him telling these Somalian fraudsters that he would help cover up the investigations and have the investigators back off. And
it's something out of The Sopranos, really.
Literally, and just coincidentally.
Or Boardwalk Empire, you know.
Coincidentally, just weeks after this conversation was alleged to have occurred, he received several large donations from these people.
Oh, yeah, how that works out.
Interesting how that
works. How it's layer upon layer upon layer of shell companies.
Yeah.
That are just absolutely sucking us dry.
Yep. Well, yeah. So, of course,
we should have done this.
I know. We missed the boat on that one. You know, you work hard. And,
the town hall center to make government be good.
And do things.
And do things right.
Yeah, the Zoolander memes that came out of that were great.
Is this a site for ants?
Yeah. And, of course, over the weekend, the other big story that occurred was not in the country, but down in Venezuela.
Oh, yeah.
Where a masterful operation by the U.S. military, led by, of course, our Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and the President of the United States, and also Joint Chief of Staff Chairman General Dan Kane.
Yeah.
Raising Kane.
Yeah.
Absolutely unbelievable operation, something that we haven't seen in our lifetimes, honestly.
Yeah.
They went in, got Maduro, and were out in less than 3 hours.
Yeah.
And it was really a spectacular, flawless operation. No U.S. service members killed, and it was honestly one of the most amazing things that I've ever seen. And, you know, we're sitting there at, what was it, probably about 1:30 on Saturday, Saturday morning, early Saturday morning, and I'm just about to go to bed, and we start seeing reports of bombings occurring in Venezuela, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's definitely us.
Yeah.
And then I see the video of the helicopters flying over Caracas, and I was like, well, they're going to get them.
Yeah.
And then around, what, about 4 a.m., we find confirmation we have Maduro. And he was brought back to the United States and is currently in jail in New York City. And
with a luxurious collection of tracksuits.
That was
changed like 17 times. Yeah. It's like wild.
Yeah. And facing some very, very significant charges. So it'll be interesting to see if the one concern I have, though, is that it's going to be a jury of New York City.
Oh, crap.
And yeah, so I could definitely see the case where he's found not guilty.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Democrats are just so unhinged. I mean, the entire thing is so outrageous how, you know, Trump literally freed a country quickly, efficiently, no problems whatsoever. Basically the total opposite of like Iraq and Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And the liberals who just, you know, 13 months ago, we're saying that
Trump is too soft on Venezuela.
Yes.
Remember that? They're basically like, oh, he's not doing, he's all this saber rattling, it's nothing. And then like Chris Murphy, the senator from Connecticut, got absolutely face fucked on CNN because they whipped out his old op-ed that criticized Trump for being like kind of dragging his feet on Venezuela, and then he does this and now it's like I just think it's fantastic. I mean hey, Colombia, on notice. Mexico, Cuba, Greenland, everybody better behave because you could have a little knock from Delta Force if you keep fucking with us like this. So
yeah,
I kind of like it. America is back. This is America's back.
America's back, and you know, here's the thing: we're finally dedicating resources to keeping securing America's national security in general.
Yeah,
especially our energy security, which is very, very important because we want that fucking oil, but. The other thing is keeping Russia and China out of our hemisphere.
Yeah.
And that's the real geopolitical goal here.
Well,
and
goes back to the Monroe Doctrine.
The Donroe
Doctrine. Now it's the Donroe Doctrine. Yeah.
I love that. That was great. But yeah, I mean you have to keep our hemisphere secure, and Russia and China and Iran were trying to move into Venezuela, and we said no, not gonna happen. And so it was a very, very good weekend for us, for America, keeping the homeland secure. And obviously, you know, we're going to, quote, run Venezuela, which is now Marco Rubio's 12th job.
Yeah.
But more so, it's just keeping this vice president bitch in check. And she seems willing to play ball thus far.
Well, basically Trump said, if you fuck with me, I'll kill you.
Yeah.
He basically said that. I mean, not really, but it was one of those, you know, New York ways of saying it.
Yeah.
It was nice.
And
did she actually flee to Russia, or was that unconfirmed?
There's been so many conflicting reports on
that. That also spread, like, I didn't run with it because I didn't see anything else to corroborate it, but
I think that she did.
It wouldn't have shocked me.
I think that she did, and I saw a story yesterday that she was supposed to return, so I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen there. But basically, we have exclusive control of their oil fields and their oil operations. And so American companies are going to be in charge of getting that oil out of the ground and getting it back to the United States. And we have absolute exclusivity over their heavy crude, which is very, very important because our refineries are set up to process that. And more importantly, ceasing all sales of oil to China and Iran and Russia.
You know, I never used to go to Citgo for years because of the Chavistas running everything, Hugo and Maduro. Now, I guess I can go to Citgo now.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I still prefer Shell, but that's just personal preference. But yeah, Schumer, Kamala, all of them, even though, you know, just 12 months ago, they were super anti-Maduro, even had a $25 million bounty on their head, in his head. Now, all of a sudden, they say, oh, no, no, you can't do that.
They're just mad because America won, the military won, and honestly, because of this operation, it showed that the Pentagon is not, you know, a Chinese fire drill, which is an ongoing theme because they don't like Hegseth.
Yes.
You know, if the Pentagon really was a mess, right, it just, you know, it's not, but I'm just saying, let's play ball here. If it was, they could never have done this.
Yeah.
Absolutely could never have done. And then Chuck was all bitching about, I was never informed. You know, I was in the skiff. And they told me that they weren't going to... I'm like, well, first of all, Chuck, you just said what was said in the skiff.
Yeah.
Maybe there's that. That's the clue right there why you weren't told.
Well, the whole
you would have leaked it.
Well, the whole reason that Congress wasn't told about this operation was brought out to bear last night when literally within an hour of Marco Rubio and Pete Hegseth giving them a classified briefing on the situation and also discussing Greenland, because they were asked about Greenland.
Yeah.
That leaked to the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
It's like...
Along with another CIA report about who should run Venezuela. I'm like, why are all these things being leaked right now?
No, I know.
I mean, this is why.
Yeah, like exactly.
You said, this is fucking why. Yeah. Although, I think it is kind of baller that Trump is informing Congress that he wants to buy the shit out of Greenland.
Yeah.
We want to buy it. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
You know what they did? Denmark sent an extra dog sled.
Yeah.
To prepare for it.
Well, you know, I saw something the other day that was like, listen, one of Russia, China, or the United States is going to control Greenland. Which would you prefer it be?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I know who I want.
Yep. In fact, wait, the tanker that was seized this morning, that was near Greenland, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, not near Greenland. It wasn't like off the fucking
general
coast,
vicinity.
But it was like in the vicinity. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, you know, that tanker was very interesting because that tanker left Iran and then was getting close to Venezuela, but then the operation happened.
Yeah.
And they never made it to Venezuela, so they immediately turned around and changed their flag to Russia.
Okay.
And so I want to know what was found on that boat this morning. They haven't released that yet, but there was definitely something on there that Russia did not want us getting.
The Brits helped us get that too. They shared info.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
So everybody wanted this boat to be seized.
Yeah.
So I agree with you.
Well, yeah, but you know, and just to wrap up this segment, going back to what you said about the Pentagon.
Yeah.
I mean, we now have, you know, within the span of a few months, two of the most successful strategic missions that the U.S. has run in the past few decades in Operation Midnight Hammer.
Yep.
In taking out the Iranian nuclear facilities and Operation Absolute Resolve in going into Caracas and extracting Nicolas Maduro.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the best operations that we've run in decades run by this Pentagon, this Secretary of War, and this President. And it turns out, by all public polling, Americans appreciate when a military mission is run efficiently, competently, successfully, and done like that.
Yeah. Not like, you know, Joe fucking Biden, who spent God knows how much money on some humanitarian pier to help the terrorists in Gaza, only to have that pier destroyed in a storm, and then dicked around on all sorts of everything. Let Ukraine, you know, catch on fire. Let Kabul fall and have, you know, the Taliban take all of our military equipment. Night and day.
Yeah, and I think that something that needs to be discussed more is that generally everyone now still has PTSD from the whole global war on terror, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan fiascos, not everything is that. Not everything is Libya or Iraq or Afghanistan or any of those countries where we get bogged down in these endless wars.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah. Also, where was the legal criticism over that? Everyone, you know, all the Dems saying, well, this might be illegal, this is illegal, this, that, and the other, we kidnapped him. Well, was anybody bitching when Obama had American citizens on kill lists in the drone program?
Right.
We bombed Libya.
Yeah.
When Libya was happening during the, you know, in 2011, I remember that. I mean, there was only, where was all this, where was all the belly aching over that? Obama killed much more civilians
over
the period of that deposition matrix program than Trump ever did with this operation in Venezuela. So
listen, Biden,
what's happening here?
Biden in Afghanistan blew up an innocent family.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. You remember that? Yeah, he thought it was a terrorist, and then it was like swept under the rug because that's our media.
Yeah,
I mean, if Trump did that, impeachment.
Yeah, yeah.
We all know this. So how over the horizon was never mentioned in press conferences ever again.
Yeah.
Over horizon, you could have had a drinking game. How many times Karine Gray-Poupon talked about, well, we don't need to do this, that, and the other with our military because we have over the horizon capability with our drones. And then we blow up the family and then we never fucking did it ever again. Yeah. Actually, we never did it again. Did we ever commit another drone strike after that? I don't think we did. Because about Chinese fire drill. That was the Pentagon under Lloyd Austin.
So, oh my God! You mean Lloyd Austin went AWOL for like 2 weeks without telling anyone?
Because I almost died because I had severe complications from prostate cancer that I never talked about. Yeah. And then Joe Biden, after he leaves, oh, by the way, I'm also a prostate cancer buddy with that guy. So, what a nightmare! I'm surprised that we're even still here after 4 years.
Seriously, I know.
Could have been a nuclear strike and we would have lost.
Oh yeah. I honestly,
like,
I mean,
some of all fears that could have happened.
You know, I always said that during that time was, I just fear if something really bad ever happens, how fucked we are.
Oh my God.
And thank God it didn't. Yeah. You know, by the grace of God, it did not happen.
There was, it was primed for something like that to happen, man. We brought in all these Afghans that were unvetted, all these terrorists. We dodged a bullet.
Yep. Yeah, a few things on yesterday, January 6th, of course. You know, they say the darkest day in American history and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, well, pretty sure there's been, like, about 12 other days that were worse than that. But if you really want to go down that road, we can. Of course, the theater kids, the Democrats, held a plastic candlelight vigil last night to close out.
I saw that they were fake. I thought they were real at first. I mean, that's just as bad, but no, it's even fake.
Yep, even worse. And they attempted a screeching rendition of God Bless America that we will play a little snippet here for you. Yeah, take a listen.
Guide her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to...
Unbelievable.
My ears are bleeding.
Yeah, and their own live stream cut that off because they're like, yeah, this is a bad look. Someone's going to clip this. My favorite part last night, though, was right after that, J.D. Vance took a screenshot of that and then put sombreros on all of them tweeted that out.
That's amazing.
But, you know, the real tragedy of January 6th that still... infuriates me was the absolute political persecution of anyone who was even in the vicinity of the Capitol, didn't even necessarily go into the Capitol, and the conditions that those patriots were held in for all those years because of Joe Biden and his corrupt DOJ, you know, and you can make so many comparisons about the summer of love and the billions of dollars and the people that were killed, and you know, you could go through all that over and over and over again, but the real Americans who suffered at the hands of the government...
Trespassing.
Yes.
Over simple trespassing.
Yeah.
One person, I forget his name, he committed suicide.
Oh, yeah.
He was about to be sentenced, I forget it, my apologies, but he's mentioned in the memoriam on the White House website, which... Mm-hmm. Which they got baited MS Now to cover, which is absolutely hilarious. Stephen Chung was doing his victory lap. So, it's just ridiculous that 9/11, Pearl Harbor, like all these other events.
The day Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Yeah. I mean, the day Trump was almost assassinated. Yeah. You could go down the list of much darker days in American history.
This is the darkest day, and you know, I think I saw CNN was talking about how, you know, some of the people pardoned, the J6er defendants mm-hmm. were pardoned. Some of them have, you know, committed crimes again. I'm just like, you know what? Biden committed, like, commuted God knows how many, what, murderers and drug dealers yeah. and whatnot that he didn't fucking know about, probably. But, like, I don't want to hear it. All this, I don't want to hear it. Stop making it a thing. You guys lost the 2024 election. Maybe that's your cue that you should stop the fucking talking about this.
Yep.
So, but yep. yeah.
Oh, let's see what else we got here. The economy is booming, folks. Gas prices are at about 6-year low right now, continue yep. to drop, and should be even better once we start getting that sweet Venezuelan oil. That's what I was
about to say, man. We got another cheap energy. It's coming.
Yep. Basically the one big beautiful bill is finally starting to really take effect now. And the economy is pumping. I mean, we have new stock market records every single day. Inflation is down. Growth is up.
Does Powell leave in March or May?
I believe it's May.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's too long.
So, but we'll get there. We'll get there.
Well, once he's gone, we reduce those rates, man.
Oh. Yes. Oh, yeah, totally. Trump's approval rating continues to be at about 50%, which is higher than any president during their second term at this point.
Means it's 55.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. We do have another government shutdown coming.
Yeah, that's going to be definitely happening.
January 30th, 2026 is the day, so that should be interesting. They continue to work behind the scenes on a potential health care bill. The tariff case is at the Supreme Court right now. That'll be very interesting coming voting up
rights
here.
Act?
Yeah, the Voting Rights yeah, Act. Yeah,
we got some big stuff. Possibly landing Friday.
Major deregulation occurring at the National Environmental Policy Act. The major parts of it were rescinded to basically slash the bureaucratic delay and red tape on a bunch of stuff. That's going to boost the economy. The final number of regulations last year, for every one new regulation, of which I think there were 9, right, 129 were cut.
Nice.
Massive deregulation resulting in billions of dollars of growth for our economy.
Tremendous.
Crime continues to decline here in Washington, D.C., with the National Guard here still on the ground. Deportations are way up. Last year was the first year of negative net migration in over 50 years in the United States.
Good.
And so things keep moving. Trump doesn't stop working, and, you know, it doesn't always get the press. Obviously, the negative is what gets the press because that's how they operate. But, you know, don't let them demoralize you. That's really the operation that's in play here, because President Trump continues to keep winning. And just today, something that I really love that occurred is RFK released new dietary guidelines for Americans, totally reversing the policies that were bought and paid for by Big Food here in this country. Yeah, it's true. Big Food. It's 100% true. basically instituting MAHA. And so I highly encourage you to check that out. That was announced earlier today, emphasizing whole foods, real foods over processed carbohydrates, and reversing the bullshit regarding dairy and meat consumption. That was always a lie.
So we can have all the red meat we can have?
Yes, that was always a lie. That was always a lie. Yeah. And then the other thing I really loved is Dr. Oz removed the alcohol recommendations.
Yeah.
He was like, the best thing possible you could do, it's a great social lubricant, is to go have a great time with your friends. That's the healthiest thing you could do. He's like, maybe don't drink for breakfast, but besides that, drink away. Yeah. And I was like, I love that. But yeah, things continue to go well. You know, obviously, we're going to continue to make some significant moves on the geopolitical front. Something that was very interesting, I was reading, I forget who wrote it. I hate to not give credit because it really was, I thought, an interesting analysis. The continued shift here, or at least the speed at which Trump is moving on these things, seems to indicate that he believes there's some large geopolitical issue at play here. And so what he's doing is trying to cut off the legs of Russia and China. And by taking that Venezuelan oil, he greatly does that, and especially Iran, too. I mean, one, he took away Iran's escape route. And because Iran also had significant drone manufacturing facilities inside of Venezuela as well. They were a major partner. not to mention even just a small detail here of that military operation, those Chinese radars, they couldn't detect our planes.
No.
Even after years of Beijing saying that they could.
And that Russian defense, air defense system was crap.
It didn't work absolute so well. Crap. Yeah.
Everyone was like, all the experts, oh, the layered air defense that defenses that Venezuela has will make any operation very difficult. Yeah, okay.
But the butterfly effect of what happened over the weekend is going to be larger than anyone, I think, realizes. For a number of reasons. I mean, one, you know, China needs that oil bad. And now without it, they're going to be in some pretty, pretty bad shape. Their economy is teetering on the edge.
Well, they don't have enough young workers to keep all the old folk alive.
Yep.
It's an inverse pyramid.
Well, and their money supply is at an all-time high. They really have no levers to pull in their economy. So if things start to crash over there, it's going to get real nasty real quick.
Aren't they primed for a massive housing crisis?
Yes. Yeah, and so
they saw what that did here. So.
I don't think that they're in a position to go after Taiwan for a very long time. So we're gonna be watching that, of course.
Hey, listen, the chips are safe.
But Iran's on the precipice of falling apart.
Yeah,
you know, the regime is facing massive protests, basically larger than they've ever seen before.
Yeah,
they are losing control of cities now.
Yeah,
the protests are gaining steam every single night. The Shah's son.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is calling for outright revolution. It seems to me like President Trump is ready to make a move on that. And if President Trump succeeds in removing the Ayatollah from power in Iran, the things that could be possible with world peace and stability in the Middle East would be unheard of in our lifetimes.
I mean, Hezbollah's done.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much done now. Yeah. I mean,
Their proxies are,
I mean, Israel pretty much wiped out, you know, they chopped off the head and then some, and they're just fizzling, or they're just there. But, you know, Hezbollah was created by the Iranians, and there's going to be no pipeline for terrorism or any of that shit.
And without their friend Venezuela, they're really up Schitt's Creek. And then also the effect of Venezuela on Russia, because...
Yeah. He really hit the nerve center here this week.
Yes. Oh, yeah, really because... Yeah, you're right. Because, even the Russian billionaires are freaking out now because Russia's economy is built solely on oil.
Yeah.
And if President Trump is able to drive the price of oil below $50 a barrel, their economy essentially becomes insolvent.
Yeah.
They will have no money to prosecute their continued war on Ukraine, and they'll lose stability at home pretty quickly. And so, like you said, that really was the nerve center. And there's a lot that could come out of this, and he's basically systematically taking on our enemies one by one.
By proxy, and, too, which is nice. It's not no nation building, no massive mobilization of divisions.
Yeah.
It's smart war.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, of course, here at home, I mean, the economy continues to roar. National security is a priority. Deportations, ICE. Trying to establish affordability. Oh, one thing he did today, which didn't even get as much, you know, play as it should have. President Trump is going to effectively ban large institutions, especially ones like BlackRock, from purchasing single-family homes, which has been driving up the cost of housing here in the United States. Not to mention, obviously, the deportations help significantly with that.
Yeah.
If anyone's looked recently at home prices and rent charts, they're going down. I mean, we could see a period of essentially flat inflation or even a little bit of deflation without a recession, which is almost unheard of in economics.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I know the affordability drumbeat that the Democrats love to harp on, and it is very, very important. But President Trump is working and making huge strides on that every single day. And I think you're really going to see a lot of that coming into play this year as the Trump economy takes hold and as we get closer and closer to the midterm elections, which is very, very important, obviously. But, you know, I what else to say besides just winning?
Mm-hmm.
It's just continued winning. And
I'm not tired of it.
Not yet.
I'm not tired.
I mean, well,
we gotta win those fucking midterms.
That'll be actually our quip of the day here. It's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows it's one of my all-time favorites. Roll that quip, Mr. Producer.
We're gonna win so much, you may even get tired of winning. And you'll say, please, please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more. We're going to win more. We're going to win some.
And on that note, we are going to call it for today because I have to get off to a meeting. But I did want to be here for you all to celebrate what a tremendous run that we've had here and to kick off the new year right. Corey will be here next week with you guys, and I'll try to be here the week after to celebrate the one-year anniversary of our great president, 47, retaking office. Of course, if you want to support Triggered, if you want to support Town Hall Media and all the work that we're doing here to tell the truth about what's going on, you can become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. Use the promo code FIGHT for 60% off. That's FIGHT for 60% off. And of course, if you have any comments, email at triggered@townhall.com. We love hearing from you all. We will be back here for another episode of Triggered next week on Wednesday, January 14th.
See you then.